A Sapphire Running Zone podcast.
Hi everyone, it's Tim from the Sapphire Running Zone, and in this next podcast, delighted to welcome Hannah Lane from Move for Hunger charity. She's a development manager, so she's in New York. I'm currently in India. We've managed to coordinate diaries, and here we are. And Hannah's going to give you lots and lots of tips and hints about how to maximize your fundraising. So, Hannah, welcome to this Sapphire Running Zone podcast.
Hey, Tim. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here. So, I'm Hannah. I'm the development manager at Move for Hunger. We're based out of New Jersey, New York area. We're a national organization in the U.S., serving folks in all 50 states, working with transportation networks to make sure that we're delivering surplus food to those that are in need. There's approximately 44 million Americans that are facing hunger every day, and our goal is to shrink that number.
It's an amazing charity, and Hannah and I know each other because I'm running Big Sur in 3 weeks for the charity.
Countdown, so it's almost here.
It is almost here. I've done the long run, thankfully, so I'm nearly ready for action, but it's certainly going to be a fascinating weekend and an example of how the charity is supporting their runners, being very helpful up to date. And Hannah's going to give us plenty of help, plenty of ideas on tell us how the charities support the runners and really push that fundraising, because it's so important that more and more runners support nonprofits around the world. And Hannah, obviously there's the financial benefit to the charities, but
of course,
why else should people run for charity?
Folks are wanting to run in Big Sur, New York, Berlin, whatever marathon it might be, just because that's a dream marathon of theirs. But a lot of races, as you know, Tim, have those qualifying requirements, have those various requirements to get in. And running with charity is a really great way to get in if you don't have the ability to do the qualifiers or you don't get pulled in the lottery. So one, you're getting to run the race that you've been dreaming of your whole life. But two, you're turning your miles into good for the community. We use this phrase all the time with Team Move for Hunger, that they're turning their miles into meals. And so for every mile that they're running, every dollar that they're fundraising, they're providing meals to their local community. And so it's just a really great way to do something that you were already going to do anyways, but then to do it for good.
Yeah, indeed. And it also, obviously, particularly where the charity has a big team in an event, is a great profile raiser, isn't it? If you see all these runners.
Yeah, we have about 24, 25 other runners besides you participating in Big Sur, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all of you out on the course in your bright red turning your miles into meals t-shirts. It'd be really cool to see.
Yeah, and it's great because hopefully a lot of the runners who have those shirts will then use them in other events, even if they're not actually fundraising in those events. The fact that they've got that shirt on means that obviously they help raise the profile of the charity, which clearly is really, really important. So the first key thing that everyone needs to do when they're fundraising, obviously, is to set up that fundraising page, which it depends, obviously, on the partnership that the charity has got, of which fundraising supplier or page supplier that is, or the event might dictate who the charity has to use. But give us some sort of ideas on setting up the perfect page, because it isn't just a case of having the default option, is it?
Clicking set up and then saying, okay, great, I'm set. You can do that by all means. You can set it up and leave it, never touch it again. Highly recommend that you don't do that, though. At Move for Hunger, what we do is we have templated pages that are offered up to our runners when they create their page. And so what I've done is given them a template message that shares, hey, my name is so-and-so, and I'm running in insert race name here. My goal is to raise whatever the minimum fundraising commitment is. Will you help me turn my miles into meals? That way, they've at least got a starting point. What I've seen be really, really effective, and what I encourage all of my runners to do, is to take the time to go into that page and really customize it. At the very least, share a photo of yourself. Share a photo while you're running, at least your smile and face. Everyone wants to see who they're supporting. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, they know you, but they want to see your face on your page. But beyond that, you want to tell the story of why you're running. You know, you want to talk about, hey, I'm really excited to be running in whatever race you're running in, and share the message of why you chose that race, maybe what running means to you, why it's important to you. But the other half of it is the fundraising piece. You're asking your friends, your family, your coworkers to help you raise, in a lot of cases, quite a bit of money. And in order to do that, they need to know who you're supporting and why they should care about that organization. You'll always have friends that are going to support you no matter what race, no matter what charity, because they just say, oh my gosh, my friend Tim is running in this race. I got to support him. Others are going to want to know, well, who's Tim supporting? Who is he working with? And so it's your chance to say, I chose Move for Hunger because I was hungry growing up and I understand what it feels like. And I don't want anybody else to feel that way. Or, you know, I chose Move for Hunger because I think everyone should be able to have a meal on their plate without worrying about where it's going to come from. Really getting personal with your story and sharing as much as you're comfortable is going to show your audience why they should care too.
And it's not just a case of setting it up and forgetting about it, is it? Mm-hmm. I think that's something that a lot of people do. They set the page up and then they just expect it to work its magic. But you have to keep going back, don't you,
when updating. Absolutely.
The target needs to change. New photos. I've seen some really good ones lately where people are going back. They're putting the training runs on there. They're putting amounts that they've raised. They're moving the target. If it gets too close, they get close to the target, they then push that target.
Yeah, and that's something that's really helpful too, is depending on the platform, is again, it depends on what app or website is being utilized to run your fundraising page. It varies by nonprofit, by race sometimes. You have the ability to communicate with your donors. The platform that we use, Klassy, our runners can actually go in, they can share updates to their page. I think they can share video. Most of them don't share video to their actual Klassy page, but they can also go in and say thank you to each of their donors as they're making those donations, which is another really just key little thing to do, is make sure that you're saying thank you to the people that are supporting you. But if your platform doesn't allow for you to provide or do those updates, social media is your best friend to be able to share those updates, because that's typically where you're sharing your fundraising link anyway. So don't just set your page, share the link, and call it a day. Make sure that you, anytime you're sharing the link, you're then also talking about, hey, I'm out for my run, you know, I'm up to 13 miles and, you know, I'm doing great. I'm getting closer to being able to run the full distance, or I'm getting faster. Hey, I'm halfway to my goal. You know, will you help me share a statistic about the organization you're working at or running with? Whatever that update might look like, because that will continue to tell your story. You can't ever just set it and then leave it, because you'll get to that fundraising deadline day and say, oh no, I'm not at my goal. What do I do?
What should they do? They've got the page set up. What's the best plan going forward?
Yeah. So, I mean, in simplest terms is share your link to your social media. That looks different on every platform, of course. But for Instagram, make sure that you're not putting it. Don't put the link in the captions. It's not going to work. You're going to lose interest. Don't do it. Go put that link in your bio. And then anytime you're talking about running, mention in your comment that, hey, go check the link in my bio if you want to support. But essentially, whatever platform you're posting to, you know, I was mentioning earlier about telling your story. That's where social media really comes in, is sharing your story regularly through your social media channels, whether that's you going onto Instagram and Facebook or even LinkedIn Live. That means sharing clips from your training, sharing an infographic from the organization that you're fundraising for, talking about, like for example, with Team Move for Hunger, it's talking about how many people are hungry in America, talking about the percentage of food waste that happens every year, how many kids are hungry in your state, because that information is always available. You can always reach out to the charity that you're working with and say, hey, you know, where can I find more resources to talk about the work that you're doing? You know, I want to share more about the detail of your work. I want to talk about the statistics. Do you have any resources that I can utilize? That information is always available. Something that I've seen that's been really, really effective is some of my runners actually share videos from their runs. They're out on their training runs prepping for whatever race they're getting for. One of our big serve runners actually did this pretty recently. He was recording himself, had his phone up, was doing a selfie video while he's running down the street in his neighborhood saying, hey guys, I'm out training for the Big Sur Marathon. You know, I'm running with Team Move for Hunger. This is why I'm running with them. I'm fundraising, trying to reach this dollar amount. you know, I'd really love your support. The link is in the captions, like, please help me donate or help me fundraise. And so just making sure that, one, you're telling your story, but that, two, you have a clear call to action every time and that you're sharing that link every time saying, hey, I'm running. I need you to help me fundraise. Will you do it? Thing that I also offer to our runners is just some guidelines of, hey, you know, your fundraising goal might be $1,300. It might be $3,000, depending on the race. That number can feel really, really, really intimidating when you first sign up saying, oh my gosh, I have to raise how much? But really it comes down to you're asking your donors for $25, $50. The likelihood of any of your donors donating the entire amount is slim. It's possible, but it's not likely. But reaching out to your friends, your family, and saying, hey, you know, will you donate $25? That'll provide 75 meals. Will you donate $50? That's 150 meals. Making it those manageable amounts, one, it gives your donor a clear, hey, I'm asking you for $25. Can you do that? Two, it shows them exactly what that $25 is going to do. One, it's going to help you reach your goal. And two, it's going to provide a tangible amount of impact in the community.
And it's a little bit like spending the time to actually set your fundraising page up in the first place. The more time you spend on actually personalizing the link sharing, the better, isn't it? Because again, if you just share a link and go, please sponsor me, chances are you will get something, obviously, but you won't get as much as if you make the effort.
As if you talk about, hey, you know, growing up, I was on the free and reduced lunch program at school. I never knew where my meals were coming from. That's why this means so much to me. I want to be able to help folks that are hungry and experiencing the same thing. Will you help me fundraise? Tells a much deeper story than, hey, I'm running in this marathon. Can you help me fundraise? And so
yeah,
really
you've got to make some effort. You've got to put the miles in, both in your training and in your fundraising. And the important thing, we haven't talked yet about timing, but obviously the earlier you do this, the better. And I think there's so many people who leave it late. Presumably you want your guys, as soon as someone commits to fundraising for you, whether it be on their own entry in the race or on one of your guaranteed spots in these big races, you want people starting straight away, don't you, with the fundraising?
Absolutely. One, because it alleviates the stress for them that they're not getting to the race and the fundraising deadline saying, oh my gosh, I was supposed to raise $3,000. I've raised $50. I'm still responsible for $2,950. Because every charity, their structure is a little bit different in how they manage their charity teams. But with Team Move for Hunger, we have a fundraising deadline. And that deadline is usually 3 weeks to a month prior to the actual race day. We set that deadline and say, okay, you have to reach your minimum commitment that you agreed to by joining our team, by signing this contract, so that you can run in the race. Because nonprofits are paying for and going through a long process to secure these charity places. So you as the runner are then, by agreeing to run for the team, you're agreeing to whatever that minimum fundraising commitment is. I don't ever want my runners to get to fundraising deadline day and say, oh my gosh, I can't cover the balance. You know, I didn't hit my goal. Because unfortunately, what happens at that point is if the runner can't reach their minimum commitment for that paid entry, they then can't run in the race. And so they may have spent that last 6 months preparing for the race and getting really excited. They may have already booked their travel to get to that race. But if they don't fulfill the requirements of the charity team that they're participating with, then they don't get to run. And that's not something that I ever want to see a runner in that position, because y'all are out there wanting to run and do great things. And I want to see you do great things. And so I truly, the minute that I welcome a member to the team, I say, okay, here's the resources. You know, I've got these templates for you. I've got these tips and tricks. I highly, highly recommend that you go and customize your page right now and you start planning and scheduling your fundraising efforts now. That way, 6 months from now, 3 months from now, depending on when the race is and how far in advance they're able to sign up with us, you're not worried about it. And if you ever are stuck and you need help, I'm a phone call away, I'm an email away, please reach out to me. Please let me know, hey, I need help. Hey, I'm trying to do this thing and it's not working. Do you have any tips? Do you have any suggestions? What can I do better? Because myself and other charity managers, that's what we're here for, is to help y'all be successful.
Yeah. And I think it's really important for people to understand that you don't train and then fundraise. You
do it all at the same time.
Yeah, and just for clarity, for people who aren't totally clear on the difference between what we call as an own place runner in the UK or a DIY mm-hmm. runner in the US, if you have your own entry in an event, charities love you to fundraise and for.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you've got it, if there's a guaranteed entry that you're running on, then of course that belongs to the charity.
Right.
And it belongs to the charity right up until the point of the race. And I think this is what people need to understand. And in the UK, obviously, we don't have this situation where credit cards are taken mm-hmm. almost as security. And that's what you guys do in the US, isn't it? It's correct. Almost security. It's if you can't raise the money, then the runner tops up the difference
correct.
At your deadline point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah, it's not something you particularly look forward to doing, is it? But no. Unfortunately,
I would love to not have to charge anyone's cards, because that means that not only have they met their minimum goal, but they've likely exceeded it. So I love when fundraising deadline day comes and I don't have anyone on my list that I have to go in and charge their card, because that's exactly how it works, Tim, is we as the nonprofit, we as the charity, we go to whatever race it may be, and we go through their application process, which looks different for every race. We say, hey, we'd really love to have a charity team. We'd really love to have some guaranteed entries for the 2024 insert race here. If we're chosen, we then receive a contract that says, okay, here's the terms and the rules and all the stipulations and the cost that it comes with for the charity to have those guaranteed entries. And so then we turn around and ask for runners to raise a minimum commitment, utilize one of those entries. And ultimately, that's what it comes down to, is we then, at the end of the process, whatever the deadlines are for the race, let's say race registration is due 6 weeks before the race, then shortly before that time, we'll work with the runners that are on our team for that race to get them their charity entry codes and get them set up in the official race registration. But up until that point, they're just on our team fundraising and they've got a held spot for them. But in the event that they drop out, they don't reach that commitment, they don't get to use that spot.
Which isn't great for anyone. I mean, it's but the great thing is it's very clear. I mean, you guys make it very clear very early, so everyone understands their responsibility.
We want to make sure that anyone that's signing up with our team for a guaranteed entry knows exactly what they're signing up for the minute that they create that page. But to your point as well with those DIY runners, because we do have runners that run that way with us in a variety of races. I have a few that have done local races in their area recently this in these last couple of months. For them, they've already got their own spot in whatever race they're participating in, whether that's a world major or just their local 5K. And in those cases, they say, hey, I'm already running in this race. I just love you guys and want to fundraise. Can I do that? And we say, yes, of course. Here's the instructions to set up your fundraising page for that type of race. Because we don't have a formalized, you have to raise this amount, because they're doing it on their own. We're not purchasing a spot for them. Encourage them to raise certain dollar amounts with incentive items. I think for our DIY races, we encourage them to raise at least $500, at which point we'll then send them some Team Move for Hunger gear. But it's entirely up to them. We provide them the same social media resources and guidance that we would provide to our guaranteed entry runners in our bigger races, but there's less effort or less commitment on their end, because they're not held to a larger dollar amount that's going to then be tied to their credit card. And so what I would say to that is that if you are wanting to run for charity, but you're not sure about the fundraising, you're like, I don't know if my network will really support me, if I can raise these large amounts of money, go participate in a race of your own choosing. Don't go the guaranteed entry route. Go the DIY route. Find your race, secure your spot, and then reach out to the charity that you want to run with and say, hey, I'd love to be a DIY runner for you, because it gives you the chance to then basically do a practice run and participate in the race that you were planning for anyway, and test the waters with your network and see, can I raise money through my friends, my family, my coworkers? Can I potentially go for this guaranteed entry that costs a $1,300 minimum commitment? And then if you see that your network is going to be supportive, then maybe next year you say, okay, I'd like to be an official charity runner with a guaranteed entry in whatever race that charity has available. Because then you get your feet wet, but you don't go the full commitment the first time out.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea because it, you know, some of the races now, the amount you have to raise is, you know, it is increasing and it can be quite significant. And if you don't have the network, it can be challenging. It's doable. It's doable for everybody if they start early enough and they plan properly. And we'll come on and talk about events shortly, but.
I come from a fundraising background. So to me, it's only natural to go to my network. Any organization that I've worked at, my friends, my family, they know that any sort of campaigns that we're running that I'm helping to collaborate and manage, that they're going to get hit up and they're going to say, hey, I'm doing this thing. And I've been doing that since I was in middle school. I've been participating in various events and then now doing this professionally in fundraising for years. And so my network is used to it. And they say, yeah, okay, Hannah, what are you participating in this time? Who are we supporting now? All right, great. Here's my donation, because they're primed and they're ready. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has that network. And so finding the ways to build that up is super important.
It absolutely is. And, you know, we've talked about social media. And then, of course, there's putting information in your signature on your email, which is another way of making sure. I mean, I was talking to a guy the other day who raised £500 in 2 hours just by putting the information. If he's just doing a walk for a charity and he sent it out to all his, literally in the course of a business day, and end of the day, he'd raised the money, which is fantastic.
I love that.
One of the really exciting areas, I think, for people when they're fundraising is events. So what can they do? And this is particularly important if they've not got a massive social media following, is organizing something where they can actually really achieve quite a lot of the target straight away. And a couple of years ago, I did a race in Australia where we were living at the time, and we looked after, I mean, it was a very interesting evening. We looked after a load of people's kids while they went out and had a sort of date night. And we had, I think, 50 kids around the house, and they all watched a movie and we had to feed them. And we slept well that night. But we raised $1,000 in a night. And wow, that is just a great way of doing it. And I've heard some really good stories. Guy the other day who got some prizes from a local pub, some vouchers, and he was just auctioning them off on Facebook, which is a tremendous way of doing it. So a sort of not even a physical event, just a social media event. But what stories have you got? You must have some great ones of people who have actually
I've heard some fun stories recently from some of our runners. It's funny that you mentioned that. One of our runners, I will leave him nameless, he got onto his social media and said, hey guys, I've fallen behind on my fundraising. I got to hit this goal. Help me out. If I reach this goal, and I think he actually set his goal higher than what his minimum commitment was because he was wanting to exceed it. But if I remember correctly, he said, hey, you know, this is my goal. Help me out. If I reach this goal, I will shave my head. he hasn't quite hit his goal yet, but I'm pretty sure he's super close. So I have a feeling he'll be bald, which will be quite fun. But it's one of those, like, his network thought it was the funniest thing, said, oh my gosh, I want to see you bald. I'm donating right now.
That's a really good way. Yeah.
Yeah. And he garnered quite a few donations of varying amounts. I saw them coming in through his fundraising page. I said, okay. When I saw the transactions, I didn't know what he was doing. And then I went and checked his social media and I said, oh my gosh, all right, that's a great idea. Good job. And so that's one of the creative things that I've heard. I had another runner recently. She is, she doesn't have quite as big of a social media following from what I understand, but she has a lot of friends and family that live locally to her. And so what she's doing is she's quite literally tying together her fundraising with her running. She did a bake sale run. She told her friends and family, hey, I'm going to sell baked goods, you know, whatever that might have been brownies, cookies, who knows. But, you know, make a donation for these baked goods. And on my next run, I will come deliver them to you. So she was doing her training and practicing and working on her distance and working on everything. But then she was also, here's the baked goods that you donated for. Thank you so much for your support, because they're in her local community and she can easily run from her home to theirs to whomever else is.
That's a really good idea. I've not heard of that before. That's
I've not great either. Idea. When she came to me with it saying, hey, is this something I can do? I said, absolutely. Please take photos. Please tell me how it goes. I'd love to hear more. I think she's like actively doing that fundraiser right now. That's like been her thing for the last like 2 or 3 weeks. I haven't heard the results from her yet, but I'm hoping to find out soon what ended up coming of it.
Yeah, that's a great idea, because the bake sale is always a sort of staple of a lot of people's mm-hmm. fundraising. But obviously these days there's not as many of us working in the office, so it's not quite as effective. Obviously there's still plenty of people at work, but it can work quite well. Mm-hmm. But the idea there of combining it with your running also means you've got absolutely no excuse not to go out and have a run that day if you've got a whole load of deliveries.
Exactly. If you already have to deliver them, well, you better go run. You said you were going to run it to my front door. I expect to see you running up my front doorstep.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a guy the other day who did car washes, which again is a nice, simple approach. And he literally just went round his neighborhood over a period of a couple of months and raised all of his fundraising target just by walking around with a bucket and a sponge.
There you go.
And, you know, again, you don't have to overcomplicate stuff. Social media is a fantastic tool if you've got the network. But actually getting back to basics mm-hmm. can work really well, I mean, acting as, you know, local taxi driver.
To that point with a car wash, you can do a yard sale. You know, it's spring cleaning right now. You've probably got things in your house that you were planning to get rid of, whether that's to be donating them, throwing them out if they're, you know, not good enough to sell or donate. But host a yard sale. Sell those items in your front yard and say, okay, great, I sold $300 worth of items that I was planning to get rid of anyway. Let me go turn that into my charity and have that count towards my fundraising.
Yeah, that was the last race that I did prior to this Big Sur. That's what we did. We just basically went around the house and looked at all the stuff that we hadn't used for a while, clothes, etc., and put mm-hmm. it on eBay and printed and the like, and that money went into a separate account, which we then just passed on to the charity. So, you know, I got a spot in a race. In effect, it didn't cost me anything because it was stuff that was in the house anyway.
Right.
And you just think, you know, these are things that people can do, but you've just got to leave that time, because if you get too close to your deadline and they come to you and say,
"Time to do the creative things and come up with that fund."
Exactly. How many people come to you and say, look, I've just been so busy. I will raise the money, but it's not going to come in until after the race. I know you have a deadline. Are there ever times where you say, all right, if I know there's a set plan here, I'll cut you some slack? Or do you just say, I'm sorry?
It depends on the race, and it definitely depends on the runner. For runners that have stayed in communication with me the whole time, and I'll actually use a very specific example in a second. For runners that have stayed in touch and are making that initial effort to fundraise, if they then come to me and say, hey, I know we're about 2 months out, I've still got half of my funding expected to come in, but I need a little bit more time. Depending on the runner, like, exceptions can be made, but I would never bank on that. I would never go into the race saying, okay, I know they said the deadline is this, I can probably ask for an extension and it'll totally be fine. Assume that you're not going to get that extension. Assume that you are going to be held to that fundraising commitment on that date. But there's two really helpful ways that you can hit that deadline without needing an extension, or that even if you do need the extension, there is some proof that you're providing to be able to be granted that extension. The first, if you know, okay, 9 months in advance, I'm participating in this race, I've got the spot on the team. Move for Hunger has the ability to do recurring donations that count toward your fundraising goal. And so if that goal is $1,000, just for simple math terms, I'm not going to do a ton of mental math here. We're going to say you've got 10 months and your goal is $1,000. You set that recurring donation of $100. That's going to cover you so that then on deadline day, you're not saying, oh my gosh, I owe $1,000. You're saying, okay, great, I'm paying my last $100. Alternatively, something that not many folks know about, and it varies by company, are matching gifts. So there's a lot of corporations out there that offer matching gifts to qualifying nonprofits. Each company defines that qualifying nonprofit differently. Some of them may say to any registered nonprofit, or it might be, you know, that are located in this state or this city, Most of them aren't quite that specific to be down to like one particular city, but there are some that are. I also might say, okay, we'll donate to qualifying charities, and we define qualifying charities as those that do work that relates to STEM education, hunger, and sustainability. So in those instances, what happens is, let's say, Tim, you, the runner, are fundraising, and you work for a company that offers those matching gifts, and Move for Hunger is a qualifying charity. So you go to your fundraising page and you make that $50 donation, that $100 donation, whatever donation you're going to make yourself. You'll then get a receipt from Move for Hunger saying, okay, great, thank you so much for your donation. Here's your proof of your contribution. You then, as the runner, knowing that your company offers a matching gift, because this is the key, you as the donor have to be the one to request it. The nonprofit can't request it for you, nor can anyone else request it for you. But you take that receipt showing that, hey, I donated this many dollars to this qualifying organization. Will you match it? Depending on the company, they usually want the receipt, maybe some accompanying documentation saying, hey, here's the information about the organization that I gave to, just as proof of, hey, I made this charitable donation, here's my receipt, and hey, here's the information that proves that this organization qualifies for our program. They'll then take that documentation and say, okay, yes, great, amazing, approved. At that point, you usually get, as the donor, you'll get some sort of confirmation from your company saying that you've been approved. That's the moment when you come back to me as the charity manager and you say, hey, I have a matching gift coming in from my company that's going to be a donation of $200, and that count towards my fundraising goal. And as long as you provide that documentation to me and I can see that it's been approved, I will usually grant an exception, even if that funding is going to be received after the deadline. But those funds can absolutely be counted towards your fundraising goal. It's a really great way to increase the dollars that you've raised very quickly. But it also just ultimately comes down to that documentation. And so in those instances, when I've had runners that have said, Hannah, I've got this matching gift, you know, it's going to put me past the minimum commitment, or like, you know, these are coming in, is there any way? I'll say, hey, okay, great, your documentation looks good. It's likely going to disperse after the race because you're sending this information to me a month before deadline day. So what I will do is I will make a note on my system. We will tentatively apply it to your goal. In the event that those funds don't come in after the race, because there's weird situations happen, these are coming in, is there any way? I'll say, hey, okay, great, your documentation looks good. It's likely going to disperse after the race because you're sending this information to me a month before deadline day. So what I will do is I will make a note on my system. We will tentatively apply it to your goal. You are still responsible for those dollars, and I will follow up with you then. I've never had to follow up with a runner and say, hey, your match didn't come in. You still owe me the balance of your fundraising commitment. But it's one of those things, as long as they are clear that there's a chance they might still have to pay it if something goes wrong, then I'm totally cool with those extensions.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I think the match giving is really, really important opportunity for fundraisers. Mm-hmm. How many of your fundraisers have used match giving in the past couple of years?
I don't have an exact number for you, but I've definitely seen it increase for the last 6 months in particular, really just by educating my runners. A lot of the time they don't know that matching gifts are a thing. And you don't know if your company offers it. A lot of the larger corporations are going to offer some sort of charitable arm to their work. Move for Hunger works with another platform that is an extension that we're able to, when we're sending you your automated receipts, if you make your donation to us and you tell us where you work, the extension that we have called Double the Donation will actually send you some information and say, hey, we noticed that you said you work at this company. Did you know they offer a matching gift program? Here's the information. Here's what you need to do. Because Double the Donation has all of that information. Not every charity works with Double the Donation. So in the event that they don't, you do have to potentially do some research yourself. But we then tell folks, hey, you might be eligible. Go check with your company. Go find out. Go see what you need to do. Because you don't know if you don't ask. Not every company, and smaller businesses probably won't offer those matches. But if you're working for a large-scale corporation, there's a high likelihood those matches are available. And that's whether you are the runner or if you're just a friend, family member of the runner donating to your friend. If you're even just donating to a charity just to donate to them, not even related to a marathon entry, you know, any donation that to a charitable organization is potentially eligible for a match. So no matter what, whether it's for your race or for just your general, hey, I really love this organization and want to support them, it's always worth looking into.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And how do you deal with cash? Obviously, you know, car washes, bake sales, there's going to be a lot of cash. How do you deal with that?
Most of our runners actually do the predominantly digital fundraising. We are a national nonprofit, so we have runners that are in practically every state and some international runners as well. In the event that you have somebody that's wanting to donate cash or write a check, we just ask that you send it to our office and mark it with like attention to Team Move for Hunger, that you're not just sending here's $100 and $1 bills with no information as to what it's for. Number one, I would highly recommend just getting a money order or a check rather than a wad of cash, because things can go wrong in the mail and you don't want the envelope to rip open and there just be loose money disappearing in the mail. But two, if we don't know what the money is for, we can't apply it to your fundraising page. So what I always ask my runners to do is if you're mailing anything to our office, give me a heads up and let me know, hey, I'm sending X amount of dollars to the office from my fundraiser, from my event, from my friend. It should be there in a few days. That way, my admin team has the heads up and can be on the lookout for it. The mail gets delivered. But then from that point, it's like once we receive it, as long as we see that, okay, great, we received this check. It's in support of Tim's participation in the Big Sur Marathon. We can then go in on the back end and apply it to your fundraising total.
Great. Okay. No, that's really good. Just to wrap up, how can we get more runners to run for charity? How can we incentivize or encourage DIY runners particularly? Because obviously, if you've got a guaranteed entry for charity, you have to. How can we incentivize somebody who's just running a local 10K in 2 months' time to raise money for their favorite charity?
Really, what it comes down to is just having a connection with those runners. I'm not going to convince some random stranger who happens to be running in a race that they need to run for Team Move for Hunger and their DIY race. But if I have folks in my network, we send out a newsletter every month to our Team Move for Hunger runners, both past and present, anyone that's expressed interest in running with us in the past or has run with us in the past. And we encourage them and say, hey, you know, obviously, we have these ticketed races available. We'd love for you to join us at Big Sur in New York, in Berlin. But if those aren't your vibe, if you just want to do your local 10K, we'd love for you to fundraise for us, because the people that are part of that network already know us. They know the work that we're doing. They have a connection with us because they've either run with us before, maybe they work with a company that works with us. Our mission means something to them, and so they're a lot more likely to then say, oh my gosh, hey, I'm already running in this race. Can I fundraise for you guys on the side? But really, it's just building connections with the runners in your community is, I think, the best thing that you can do. And identifying the runners that are in your active, that are in your actual network and community, because you never know who your next champion is going to be.
Yeah, ideally, you want people in your charity world to think fundraising when they enter there, whether it's their first event, because obviously it can add so much to a runner's experience.
Absolutely.
Particularly their first event. It's not just about you, it's about what you are doing for others. So it's got to be
it's first, that feel good moment that you're giving back, but also doing the thing that you love.
Yeah. Obviously, the events need to do more as well. They need to be encouraging as many people as possible to support a charity. If they get their own entry rather than just focusing on guaranteed entries. But I think between us, we can all play a role, can't we? And just getting it more front of mind than potentially is at the moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have runners that have joined us for Team Move for Hunger this year for specific races that had no idea that charity places in races even existed prior to the conversations that we had. And so it's just one of those things that making folks aware of that opportunity and making folks aware of the fact that you can run a marathon and support your local nonprofit, your favorite nonprofit at the same time. One is a good idea, but two is actually an available idea. is the key first step.
Fantastic. Really appreciate your time. And hopefully we can encourage more and more people to support their favorite charity. And these tips and hints will be invaluable, I'm sure. So thank you very much indeed. And hopefully we can catch up again in the future. All right. We'll speak to you again soon.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to this Sapphire Running Zone podcast. Keep checking back as we have lots more podcasts coming soon.